Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's up, everybody? And a happy Friday morning to you here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The weather this week has not been great, but we're going to try to warm you up a little bit, talk some Pirates baseball. We are about a month out from spring training, which is simultaneously scary and amazing, and I can't wait for Bradenton. But anyway, joined this week by Andrew Destin, Mr. Rowdy, Two Sport. What's going on, brother? How are you?
Doing well, man. It's been a I know we were talking about this a little before recording, but Penguins are playing well. It's a new year. It's good to be here. It's good to talk a little Pirates action, though. I always spring training is one of my favorite times of the year, just as somebody who observed baseball from a distance and getting the taste of that last year. It's like I can't wait for it. But at the same token, it's crazy that baseball season's almost upon us. So it's a fun time of year, but I'm sad that college football is over, I have to admit.
Yeah, that's and it's always a weird pivot for me, like around the holidays, NFL, college football wraps. Like, you know, you're always going to have hockey going on into baseball season, but like it's real to me. Like, I don't know what switch flips around the holidays, but I like it. I've put Bradenton on one of the weather locations on my phone. So it's that far official. I'm starting to look at weather down there. Fantasizing about Pirate City. I'm glad you got to experience it last year. You'll get to experience it again this year. It's so fun, man. Like I hear a lot from people about, oh, spring training, 7 weeks, you're gone all this time. And I like it. I really do. It's one of my favorite times of the year. I think that area is fantastic. So yeah, not a complaint.
No, certainly. Can't imagine. It's a beautiful area of the country too, not to mention. Not just that you're in Florida. It's, man, the beaches right there. You can't go wrong.
For sure. And it stinks being cold. So, all right. Pitching in, we're brought to you as always by the North Shore Tavern. If you like baseball, you'll love the North Shore Tavern. The interior is wall-to-wall Pirates, appetizers, entrees, cocktails, and of course, steak and seafood on a sizzling lava stone. Open every day. The North Shore Tavern across from PNC Park is Pittsburgh's home for steak on a stone. Thank you for their sponsorship. A lot to get into this week, Andrew. We were both at Pirates Fest, David L. Lawrence Convention Center. By and large, I thought the Pirates did a really good job of this. I'm glad it came back. I had my wife and kids there. They were experiencing things as a fans. They had an absolute blast. I want to get into some stuff we learned during 2 days of media availability with players, which I thought was really interesting, but just, you know, it was also your first time experiencing this, and I know you've sort of been raised in a different area and a different fan base, but what did you think about how they did it?
Yeah, such a cool way to do it, right? And it's a great way to lead into it there, just because, you know, growing up Bay Area, I'd been to Fan Fest for the Giants before, similarly at the convention center back in San Francisco. And, you know, as a kid, those were such, you know, moments that I never forgot, right? Being able to interact with players in those intimate settings away from the game where they're so sociable. And it was like, for me, like stepping into a time machine, just seeing how the players, seeing how they're interacting with kids. It's those moments that it might sound cheesy or cliche, but it kind of renews your love for the game and reminds you of, you know, moments of why you do this, but also how good of people these are that you're interacting on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, so above all that, though, just great job by the Pirates of putting on the tip of the cap there. And from everything that I saw, the interactions, players signing autographs, the setup, being there with the fans, engaging with them in little mini games and activities. And, you know, I could go on and on about, about it, but it was just a great moment. Really enjoyed it personally. How about you?
Yeah, same. And to just sort of give people the lay of the land and how it looked and whatnot. It was up on the third floor of the David L. Lawrence Convention Center. And frankly, I think they could rent out more space. It went on concurrent with the RV show. And I don't know why they just did one floor this year. I mean, maybe they didn't want to, you know, bite off this whole big piece of real estate and then not fill it or something. I'm not sure. But I mean, based on the interest, the number of people there, they could do far more. And that's great. We'll see what happens. But I mean, you know, you walk into this third floor conference, I don't even know what you'd call it, ballroom, adjacent ballroom and conference center, whatever, this giant expanse. And you're walking past like all the banners and stuff. You know, some, I don't know what you would call a giant ball. Just, it was decorated very well. There was a giant wall of Pirates history, lockers with historic artifacts. You've got, you know, separate autograph rooms that people were able to sign up for, regardless of how people think about the procedure. I know that rubs some people the wrong way, but there were some very sizable lines for autographs, for kids' autographs. 93.7 The Fan had a radio booth that was like really, really popular. I was talking to some people about that. I thought that was awesome that they broadcast live from there and just ran through a bunch of people. You walk down a hallway and then to the right, there was an even bigger, I think they called it like a Steel City Ballroom and a kids field. I know my kids did that and you could like, you know, run the bases and do stuff in the outfield and hit off a tee and throw in a net and all that stuff. And like, you know, bounce house, different interactive games, balloon animal. Like it was sort of like a baseball carnival. But anyway, I felt bad. Like we were skipping past some important details, and they did have, and this is applicable to something we're going to talk about, but this big main stage, you know, where they ran players through and management and coaches and that sort of thing to talk about various, you know, strategy, game planning and fun stuff like cooking or whatever. But like there was constant entertainment on there. So, okay, that's going to take us to one area that one of my biggest takeaways from Pirates Fest, Andrew, just to sort of get into actual baseball talk. But so the Pirates required you to submit questions ahead of time. When I saw this, my first reaction was, you've got to be kidding me. This is a bad look. You're trying to screen out negativity. What are you hiding from? No other organizations do this. And I mean, truth be told, I DM'd a bunch of other beat writers about like, hey, does your team do this? Have you heard about this? What trying to get some context surrounding it. And the answers were all over the place. But I say all that to say, then we get to Pirates Fest. The Pirates shied away from no negativity. You know, the first question was, I forget exactly what, but it was basically like, are you going to actually spend money on this team? And I think the second question was, are you going to spend money on the team? Then they gave the hot mic to somebody who said, if we care so much about development, if we spend so much about development, why aren't we developing guys? Completely fair question, especially it was related to young pitchers. So anyway, I wanted to get your takeaway on that, or, you know, like what was something that resonated? I mean, you don't have to discuss that, but I mean, what's something that resonated most with you about that, you know, actual event wise?
Well, first thing is just, you know, I worry about my job because these fans could certainly do it based off the questions they were asking. that's where my mind goes. No, it was, my mind went to the same place as you did of what's this going to look like? What kind of questions are we going to get? And my biggest takeaway was the honesty and candidness of answering said questions just from the guys. We had the top brass on the podium there for the Pirates, right? With Charrington, with Williams, with Nutting as well. So my biggest takeaway from them was just, you know, facing the music, right? You're there in front and center. You're talking about these topics that are hot button issues for fans. And I'll let you get into more of that, the nitty gritty of it, just given your reporting and writing about it. But my biggest takeaway from it was the honesty about it. Because I think they're not afraid of the idea that like this should be taking the next step forward. And that's in respect to, you know, Pirates development, Pirates on-field performance, all those sorts of things. So that was a big takeaway for me. It was just, hey, these guys are ready to face the music. They're there and they're answering it.
Yeah. That story, by the way, is on our website. If you have not seen it, just if you Google, you know, Post-Gazette Jason Mackey Pirates Q&A or something like that, that'll be on there. I mean, I thought their answers were okay. I think there's some stuff that you literally can't answer. Like one question that, again, I think is very important with the Pirates right now. And it was asked in a way that like there was no about the, like, if we care so much about the development, why? And it was specifically like, why have Rowanzi Contreras, Quinn Priester, and Luis Ortiz sort of taken steps backwards? Again, which is a completely fair question, and I think it's one of the most important storylines with the Pirates this season, especially given their need for pitching. I don't know if there's a ton Ben Cherington could say, you know, because if there's a magic answer, like they're going to go do it. And there isn't. Maybe there's a little bit more of an honest omission that I wish they would, you know, say like, hey, we kind of tinkered a little bit too much. I think we bit off a little bit more than we could chew. That would be my answer, but I don't run the pitching development program. Yeah, I mean, I give them high marks for tackling the issues. You know, and I also think that I feel like this is a narrative with a lot of stuff surrounding this team. It doesn't matter what they say. It's what they do.
Yep.
And they can sit there and say, we're committed to building a winner. And we're going to do this and we're going to do that. Until you do it, it doesn't matter. And like, I understand where they're coming from. You know, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Like, you are rebuilding. You did sort of scorched earth your way to 3 losing seasons. You're coming out of that. You've got young talent. The payroll went way down. Now the payroll's working its way back up. You just signed 2 long-term like all of that stuff, in my opinion, is in the Pirates' favor. But like, you're sitting there and telling me how we're committed to building a winner, and I'm looking at a starting rotation that has 3 people. That's not an organization right now that's showing me that they're committed to building a winner. If you're committed to building a winner, you should have a starting rotation with at least 5 guys. You know, you're talking about building depth with 10. They're so far from 10. But again, a lot of this stuff is like a what I say, what I do, what I'm going to believe. People reacting now on January 11th versus February 11th. Like there's still room. Guys can improve. I think it could look a lot different with time. So again, I guess I'm just saying it's kind of like I give it an incomplete grade on some stuff. But again, my biggest takeaway, at least non-player wise, was that they answered these questions. You know, they submitted them through this process, I guess, to sort of streamline the asks, and they didn't want to give somebody a hot mic to like give them a 3-minute story about how they used to go to Forbes Field as a kid and sit in the $1 seat, which is great. It's just, you know, there's a finite number of minutes to do this. Yeah. You know what though? I mean, honestly, Andrew, in hindsight, like I would just have them do the live questions and sift through that stuff. Like it's not worth the headache. It's not worth the headache of getting crushed, looking like you're trying to hide from something, but I don't know. I don't run things. So, all right, let's move to some player stuff though. Cool. What stuck out to you about the like 72 players that we had?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm talking to over 2 days. And it doesn't have to be one thing.
What a marathon, man. Yeah,
that was.
We could go like so many different ways about this, like zero in on one player, zero in on a position, just pitchers, just outfielder, something like that. I guess the place that I'll start, and I'm sure you'll go to different areas like a Kutch or people like that, but the first place I'll start was Henry Davis, chatting with him. Yeah, in a formal setting like that, you know, you and I have had the chance to chat with the young man one-on-one. Certainly other beat reporters have, and he's certainly, you know, better, more revealing, more opening with his answers in those settings than the group scrum. As some fans may remember, and that's no knock on Henry. That's just, this is a guy who is all business, all about getting to work and all about how can I get back on the baseball field and get to work as quickly as possible. Right. Like that's at least been my observations of interacting with Henry.
Yep.
I bring all that up to say he seemed so curious and so passionate about talking about what he's doing this offseason. And I think part of that might be, he recognizes how important this offseason is going into 2024. Just given the backdrop of Andy Rodriguez is out for the year in terms of catching. Yeah, they've gotten Ollie Sanchez, but like this is a job that you very well, when the season comes to a close, you could be sitting here having caught 100 games. Like, I don't think that's unrealistic to expect. Now, is that what's going to happen? Very different conversation. Jason DeLay certainly has an argument. I say all that to say that if everything goes according to plan and Henry Davis develops at the rate that the Pirates want of him and he wants out of himself, this guy could be the catcher more often than not in Pittsburgh this year. I know people will say, hey, this guy caught 2 MLB innings last year. There's plenty of room for growth. And what I enjoyed about that chat with Henry was he he was open and honest about all that. Asked him a question about, hey, you're really passionate about receiving. Catchers have talked about how that's something you're really taking seriously. What are you doing about that? And he's like, that's the most important thing. That's how I'm going to grade myself as a catcher. So that was a big takeaway for me, was just, that's obviously a position that's a question. Henry Davis is a huge question mark as the former number one overall pick. And I thought that he was more than willing and wanted to talk about what he's doing to get better.
That's cool. And it tracks with my theory. I actually wasn't in there for the Henry Davis interview, but it doesn't surprise me. He can be maybe the best interview on that team.
Yep.
If he wants to be, which is hilarious because he made his MLB debut and they put him up at a podium and we're asking him questions. He's like, I just want to play. I just want to help the team win. I just want to go.
Yeah. It's like, right.
After the game, you get Henry after a loss and he's like, he is so salty. Which, like, I respect, I get it. I think he's going to have to learn that just like, even if that's the way you feel, people will probably make judgments that you're like, you know, kind of a jerk. Yeah. When he's the furthest thing from that. Like, he's such a sincere Agreed. Guy. I really like him. But, you know, that only comes through to people who are there all the time. Like, you're communicating with people who only have that slice of you. So, yeah, and reading the quotes, having talked to Henry previously, sort of knowing what this year is about, like, it's got to be a difficult or strange or something, like, emotional thing for him too, right? Like, he and Andy are close. We know this. It sucks for Andy, obviously, but Henry's never going to have a bigger opportunity to catch major league innings than he is right now. Like, yeah. He's got to feel like he, you know, on one hand, you just hit the lottery. On the other hand, one of your best friends is in a world of hurt right now. His elbow's really screwed up, and that's got to be a weird dichotomy for him. I do think, maybe this is mean of me, but I'm sort of disregarding Ally Sanchez.
Oh yeah.
Like he just kind of feels like a break glass in case of emergency plan, like whatever. And I mean, I was encouraged just to take the Davis thing a little bit further, talking to Jason DeLay. Yeah. He was one of our first interviews and he said, you know, I would be kidding if I said I didn't look at this as an opportunity to take a little bit more responsibility. Sure. I want to, I feel like I'm ready for it. And I thought he was very forthright, very mature, which I certainly would expect from DeLay. He's extremely intelligent and well-spoken. But it's going to be interesting to see how that dynamic pans out. I mean, obviously, Henry has a bunch of physical talent, absolute rocket for an arm, works his tail off. DeLay has too. And I think Jason DeLay is a very smart catcher. And I think you can pull a bunch of metrics that show that he performed starter level good, at least in terms of his defense. And the offense took a nosedive after about the first 2 months, but I don't know what wins out. And it still worries me that they're deep enough at that position. I would still, as we've talked about on here, or Fort and I talked about a lot, like to see them add some depth there. But yeah, that's a good, you bring up a good one with Henry Davis. I think that was one of the highlights for me as well.
Yeah. And it's, I think you're hitting on it perfectly there about the depth too. That's a part that didn't even strike to me that probably worth noting, because let's think about spring training last year with all the catchers that they brought in, right, to challenge yep. Jason DeLay for that backup job. Yes, Austin Hedges was brought in, but you also had, you know, still Tyler Heineman was around, still from the Mets, Kevin Plawecki, you know, he was on the scene for a little bit there. Now, I'm not saying these guys are world beaters, but, you know, I'd say that that's probably in terms of, you know, resume, just what they've done, track record in the big leagues, probably a yeah. little bit higher of a level than what you've got with Ally Sanchez. So I say all that to say that you probably were in a better spot last year in terms of catching depth. So this is putting a lot in Henry's corner, I think, is where I go with it. That's where my mind goes, is that I don't think it's just talk anymore. And again, it's show me what you do versus show me what you say. But I wouldn't be surprised if in spring training and coming out of camp, it's pretty abundantly clear that, like, hey, Henry is going to catch. Like, he has to catch.
Yeah,
there's no other way of saying it.
Yeah. All right, so I'm gonna move on a little bit just because there's a bunch of other stuff I want to get to on this podcast from Pirates Fest. Another yep. story, Andrew, that you wrote, I was intrigued by. I think a lot of people are going to be intrigued by, is O'Neill Cruz. It was cool to see O'Neill walking around David L. Lawrence Convention Center. Derek Shelton in the Pirates management Q&A, he had a good line. He said, other than the guy on stilts over there who was like literally on stilts, you kind of can't miss O'Neill Cruz. He's probably the most difficult to miss person in here. And it smile, and it's absolutely true. Everywhere you go, you just see this giant dude beaming and dreadlocks and whatever. Like, he's just such a fun dude to observe live life. I love it. I love covering him. I love just walking around, people being in awe of him, like seeing little kids looking up at him. So anyway, it looks like we're going to see that on a baseball field quite a bit this year. What did you write about? What did O'Neill say about his health?
Yeah, is his health first and foremost. You know, we asked him about it, said, hey, how are you feeling? And I prompted the question of, what do you have to prove? Just putting the ball in his corner. He's like, I got nothing to prove. I slid in a Dominican League instructional game. I'm good. And that generated laughter from all the reporters, and rightfully so. The translator, Major League coach Steven Morales, same goes for him, just because I think he's kind of done talking about, like, how am I feeling? And obviously he needs to prove it in spring training and show that he can still play a major league level shortstop coming off a very serious injury to his left leg. But I think he feels fine. And I think that's the big takeaway that Pirates fans should have, is that this is a guy who feels healthy. He's taken all the steps. He's returned to some form of game competition. He's ready to go. And I think he's just counting down the days, honestly, till spring training, and excited to show fans that he's not afraid of sliding after that incident last April. So, but yeah, it's certainly important. It's a huge storyline for the Pirates, just given the production they got that position last year out of the likes of Tucapita Marcano, Alika Williams, Rodolfo Castro. Yeah.
That's the face I make when I think about what they got there. This is so terrible.
For a full year. We had that last year. A little Chris Owings too. Can't forget Chris Owings. It was a heck of a rotating cast at shortstop. So I think Pirates fans will be glad to know that Cruz is going to be there this year.
They went from somebody potentially having a 40-40 season to somebody with an aggregate 5-5. I don't know if there was any bigger disappointment with the Pirates last year, or like bigger change from what was expected to reality than what happened at shortstop. My gosh.
Which to me makes that 20-8 start all the more impressive. They did all that.
Right?
They did that more without him. And I'm like, man, imagine if he had actually been around. My mind goes to the over 500 mark. But yeah, regardless, what a disappointment.
You honestly, they probably would have been over 500 with a healthy Cruz.
Yeah.
Honestly, probably. You think about it. That's wild, man. Think about that. And then if they were like, give me Brubaker for a year. Give me Velasquez for a year. Give me Burrows for a year. Like, if those awful injuries wouldn't have occurred. Shoot, even if only two of the four occurred, I think we're talking about flirting with 500. Which is in a way scary, because I feel like this year's team is not there. Yeah. I don't see them right now as currently constituted as a team that's going to get over. Well, I don't know. I go back and forth on that, because I think their offseason is incomplete. I still think there's more, and I think we're if I look at the totality of it, like when we show up on day one of spring training, I see that the goal is to be over 585-ish wins, flirt with the wild card spot. But like right now, I just worry about the pitching depth. That's probably a different conversation altogether. But yeah, Cruz, man, is just like, it's such an element, such a game changer for this team. Do you think 40-40 is insane for him? I don't.
So insane, no. Likely, I will say yes, or unlikely, I'll say yes. Because I think coming off the leg injury, I think they're going to be careful with that with stealing bags.
You're probably right. That's a good point.
But 40 homers, I think, is totally valid. I see no reason why not. I mean, what, hit 18 or in like less than 300 at-bats the first year, right? Yeah. So you extrapolate that out to a full season with having some big league familiarity with pitching.
Yeah.
Why not? Have at it, man.
18 in a full season. Well, if you remember back to what he did then, like, he struggled left on left. He struggled with breaking stuff. We saw a marked improvement last year with that. I mean, I was so impressed with what O'Neill did year to year, 22 to 23, just with his deficiencies. And you looked at him and you say, well, he couldn't really hit left-handers very well, you know, struggled with chasing breaking stuff defensively. Like, he was very inconsistent. You know, which are probably unfair holes to poke in his game, but he came back in spring and all three of those things were markedly better while maintaining speed, power, everything that makes him great. I love seeing the player with an ability to change that stuff so quickly. He gets healthy, he changes that stuff. I really do think he's going to be a star. I think he changes their team dynamic dramatically. It's going to lead me into my next point here, although I do want to circle back to Pirates Fest, but it's appropriate. The banner ad you see at the bottom of your screen, your opening day lineup for 2024. For me, it starts with O'Neill Cruz. I don't know if you have a different opinion on how you would deploy him, but give me your top three right now, and we'll work down from there.
For top three of who I'm putting?
Yeah, like, your first three hitters with the position.
Okay, yeah. So we're going top of the order. Yep. Well, I'm gonna lean on what Ke'Bryan Hayes said and what he requests, and that he would like to bet third.
Okay.
I'm gonna start from there, work him there. In the two hole, it's a tough debate. I feel like I would go Cruz, and then I might do something as crazy as even leading off a Kutch. Now you might laugh at that and say no shot, but I enjoyed when they experimented with it last year. Okay. I think we might be at a spot where you can back Ke'Bryan Hayes in the three hole. He no longer is in a position where, hey, it's not enough offense. You can't position him there. I like the idea of switching back and forth with the left and the right, left, right. Then you could put Jack at or four, which I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm saying,
that's,
you know,
all right.
I'm not against leading off with Kutch. I'm not against leading off with him. I liked what I saw last year when he was in that spot.
Interesting, Andrew. Interesting. My initial thing, and I still think I feel this way, is to put Cruz there. And why I feel that way is he loves that spot. Mm. Is it metrically the most sound thing? No, but I think there's something to be said in baseball for putting people where they feel comfortable. To me, it's like, you know, I want you to do a job where you feel fulfilled, so you give me the best version of yourself. I feel like that's kind of what I'm striving for with the lineup. So my 1-2-3 without burying any sort of lead would be Cruz, Reynolds, and Hayes. On some days, I might flip Hayes. Like, if I'm giving Cruz a day off, I might move Hayes up to the leadoff spot and move Kutch into three, something like that. I might look to use Kutch to extend my lineup a little bit more. And I'll get to that. But I like Cruz as a leadoff guy. I think he can really change some things that way. But you make me check myself with the Kutch thing. 378 OBP. I didn't realize, as I was sort of doing some research, I'm going to have a Connor Joe story online by the time anybody checks this podcast out. I was working on it yesterday. But there were some numbers in there that blew me away, like Kutch's on-base percentage leading the team. And really, Connor Joe and his on-base percentage and some numbers he produced that you'll see in there are like sneaky, really good. But man, putting Kutch in a 378 OBP at the top of my order to have him hitting in front of Cruz, who could potentially, like we're talking about, hit 30 or 40 home runs, turning a bunch of solo shots into two-run jobs or more, makes you think.
Yeah.
Makes you think.
My mind just goes there because I think about the idea of protecting the lineup a little bit at that top. And I think back to how well the lineup functioned when either Kutch or Hayes was leading off. And, you know, maybe that's me glossing over too much of having Reynolds in the four hole, that it would be nice to have him at two and then you could still keep Cruz up top. But I don't know, man. I just like the idea. I like the idea of getting Kutch at the top and having that veteran lineup or veteran presence who gets on base to lead things off. But as we all know, Derek Shelton's going to mix this up every day. So what am I even talking about?
So we were in the Pirates Q&A at Pirates Fest, and Shelty, he was asked something about, were we ever going to see some consistency with the lineup? You know, and I was laughing there, and I wish I could have made eye contact with Shelton, because we could have just had some sort of eye roll about, like, you know, interactions with media, and then he brought it up himself. He's like, I just could change the lineup all the time, so give the media something to talk about. I'm like, yeah, all right, buddy. which is fine. I'd say the same thing to Shelty. I mean, he knows the drill. Like, he's going to change it. We're going to ask. We see each other 162 games a year. Like, what do you want us to talk about? Yeah. But anyway, yeah, I don't think there's ever going to be any consistency there. I just don't think that's the way he's wired. And to a degree, I don't even argue with it, because I think they're trying to hunt the best possible matchups and put guys in positions to succeed. That's what they should be doing. Just like, as reporters, we should be asking why you're doing these different things. But anyway, all right, let's move on to 4, 5, 6. I'll start with mine. If I'm going Cruz, let me make sure I get my own work correct. Cruz, Reynolds, Hayes. I'll go Rowdy, Jack, Kutch.
Ooh, forgot about Rowdy almost. That's a good point.
Forgot about your brother?
Well, it's, you know, sometimes I get lost. You know, I see the tweets and it's about Rowdy. I'm like, oh, he's writing about me. And I'm like, oh, no, it's Rowdy Tellez. I have to remind myself. But
sorry, I'm probably guilty of overplaying the Rowdy hand, but it's just so fun to me.
I just can't wait. I was saying this to one of our colleagues, Noah Hiles, who covers Pitt for us at the Post, because I was saying, I can't wait for the first day of spring training that I'm down there, and either you or somebody else is going to say, hey, Andrew, stand next to Rowdy so you guys can take a picture together, and it's going to be two Rowdies. I can't wait. It's going to be great.
Yep, and then we can tell everybody why you got that nickname. The man who brought a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and five mandarin oranges to Pirates Fest because he packed his own lunch.
I can't believe nobody took me up on the mandarins. I brought them. Nobody else wanted one, man. You brought donuts. That's what normal people do.
Yeah, I brought donuts and coffee because we had to be there for our first interview at 8:30 in the morning. I thought that was a logical step. And then I had pulled pork sandwiches from the snack bar outside, and my man here is bringing. What else did you have? You had a peanut butter jelly sandwich, five mandarin oranges.
Cheez-Its.
Cheez-Its. Anything else?
A couple of Ghirardelli chocolates from home.
All brought, per usual, in a giant Ziploc bag.
Right, because lunchboxes are difficult and cost money. Yes.
Bro, I have 19 lunchboxes from two kids. I'm going to bring you in an Avengers one this season.
I cannot wait.
Maybe a Minecraft lunchbox. All right, so my 4-5-6, I gave it to you. What's yours?
Okay, 4-5-6 for me. I'm looking at it. I'm going probably Reynolds at 4.
Okay.
I'm going to go Tellez at 5, Jack at 6. That's what I'm looking at there.
So that's kind of, you're almost like rolling things back a little bit. That sounds like maybe the heart of your order.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. I'm like, but it's interesting. I think this is a deeper lineup, but not necessarily top heavy lineup relative to last season, which last season felt like 1 through 4 can compete with everybody, 5 through 9. I feel like this year, if I were doing it, I would want it to be a little bit more like 3 through 6 is where I've got my pop. 1 through 2, those guys are getting on base.
Yeah. And
so, you know, I think there's no wrong way to do this, but that's how I'd go 4-5-6.
All right. Let's move along here. I started to write mine down because I forget who I had where, and I want to make sure this is accurate. I'm going to go Henry 7. He's going to be catching, at least at this point. I think that's probably the most likely outcome. I need a right fielder and a second baseman. I think I'm going to go – this is hard – who I think is going to be in right field.
It's the same thing I dwelled on. I was between two guys and just flipped a coin.
Yeah. Who?
I did all
in right field.
I did Oliveras.
Yeah. See, here's the thing. I put Triolo down. I have Triolo Pagero. So my 7-8-9 would be Henry Triolo Pagero.
Okay.
But I sort of say that to say, I don't think that's going to be a consistent lineup look. I just think that Triolo has a little bit more experience, and like for this game, we'll use him out there. I truly think that he's going to bounce around all over the place. I think he's going to play, he might play 4 or 5 positions in a given week. And I don't think anybody's going to bat. And I think he can do it. But just for this one, I went with that, which puts Connor Joe, Oliveras, Jason DeLay, and I don't know who else on the bench. Yuan Bae, maybe.
Yeah.
If I'm forgetting somebody, I'm sorry.
I think that's it. Yeah, it was either going to be Gonzalez or Bae for the last position player.
Yeah, we'll see. I think Pagero wins the second base job, but I think that Triolo ends up playing a whole bunch. So that's my lineup, but I guess with the caveat that it would be fungible. And if I'd put Oliveras there, somebody would be like, how can you not have Jared Triolo in the lineup? What's wrong with you? He hit .298 in 54 games or whatever it is. And so, like, I don't know. I don't want to invite those concerns. So right. What about you?
I'm just excited for Derek Shelton to call Jared Triolo Ben Zobrist. That's what I'm here for.
Well, you're gonna hear that.
That's like
a drinking game with Shelty. How many times he references Ben Zobrist? Of course, I'd be in the can by midseason.
That's what I'm here for, man. That's, if you ask me what is my thing I'm looking forward to most about 2024 Pirates baseball, Ben Zobrist, Jared Triolo comps.
So, so in 2023. This became a good bit, and I'm gonna keep it going. I started tracking Derek Shelton's big words because he likes to make fun of himself and try to act like he's stupid. And I've told him this. I said, I know you're not stupid. Like, I know you're smart, but good job playing the character. And so he'll drop these words, and I swear he does it intentionally. And so I started tracking the SAT words that he uses, and he'll joke. And he's like, does that make the list? you know, conversant, vivacious, eclectic, exponential, meritocracy. I'm just looking through the list of this past season. I think I might track Ben Zobrist references. References to Ben Zobrist, Chris Bryant, or no, I'm sorry, Anthony, was it? Which one have we?
Go ahead. Bryant would be the more, yeah, position versatile.
Yeah. I, for some reason, I always flip the two. And then Marwin Gonzalez are the ones that always seem to come up.
Good reference on Gonzalez. I almost forgot about that.
We should track this. All right. What's your 7-8-9?
Okay. 7-8-9, Davis, Olivares, Peguero. And I similarly have Peguero winning that second base job, just given what he showed in the small sample size. But I think it's certainly a topic that either we'll bring up or we'll be talking about more so these next few weeks, is that second base job is as, just like last year, as heated competition as any in this team, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And I wrote a couple days ago about Nick Gonzalez and Leover Peguero, really good friends through the minor leagues. And it's just the way this works out, man. Like, only one of them's playing. Yeah. And I thought Nick was pretty good at Pirates Fest about this, talking about, you know, like, we understand we're here to make each other better. Whoever wins the job is going to be the person who performs the best. So, like, they get it. But it is tough. All right. As always, like, subscribe. I'll remind you again before the end of the podcast. Please chime in with what your opening day lineup would be. I think things can and will change, of course, between now and opening day. It always does. Any last thoughts, Andrew, about Pirates Fest, what we heard, what we did?
I guess I'll put this one in your corner, honestly. It would just be Andrew McCutchen talking to him again. That was a big takeaway for me, was just his role. And I'll let you delve into this more so, but just
you delve into it. It's your takeaway.
My takeaway was, I really enjoyed him saying that, no, I don't like being the veteran leader. I don't like being the guy who everybody talks to and I'm the authoritative voice. He's like, I just want to go out there and play. And I was like, same, bro. I enjoy. I would love to just be out there playing, but I'm here writing, talking to you, which is great in its own right. But I just thought that was a unique perspective of, like, hey, this guy really doesn't enjoy the narrative of, like, you're the sage veteran that people can turn to. It's like,
but no, dude,
he wants to win. He embraces it, and he wants to win.
I was going to say, but he is.
Yep.
He doesn't want to be, but he does it. Yeah. And he should.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as somebody who watched a lot of what Kutch did around Pirates Fest, I mean, there's nobody who has a greater bond with the city of Pittsburgh around baseball than Andrew McCutchen, and it's not close. Whether he wants to or not, like, he has a role to play, and he's playing it. He's so important to this team, dude. I mean, I'm not telling you or anybody else anything you don't already know. It's just, like, staggering to see it. I love that he's willing to do that. He needs to be willing to do that. I think in a clubhouse where you have, like, I mean, I like Brian Reynolds and Key Brian Hayes a lot. Are they the most outwardly outgoing social people? No, they're not. They kind of like to just show up and do their job. And, you know, they're kind of more productive players than Kutch. Probably, you know, at least multifaceted and doing different things. Like, let them do that. If Kutch has to, like, be that, you know, sort of public relations liaison or something like that, like, you know, to a degree, like, it shouldn't be a sideshow. And it's not, because he can still play and he's still a productive and helpful player. But I just thought he articulated that very well, that, like, I'll put that cape on and do it if that's what my team needs. And, you know, that's what his team needs. So he's doing it. What other takeaways? Sorry to cut you short on the Kutch thing. If you have anything.
No, you're good. Other key takeaways, Mitch Keller with
good
contract
one.
Talks. Yeah, that was a big takeaway. It was just, like, where they're at with him. That's not something that, if memory serves me correctly, haven't begun those conversations yet. That's certainly him and Bednar are two guys who are the most important pitchers on this roster. And just found it interesting. Those guys aren't ones that are locked up long-term here. So, but Keller, first and foremost, just given the status of where he's at with his contract, with arbitration, all those sorts of things. That was certainly important to me, I think.
Yeah, some of that stuff will get sussed out later today. That's the deadline for teams and players to exchange figures. And a lot of times, and I think this is going to be the case with the Pirates, is just you agree on a number for next year. And it doesn't mean that's necessarily binding. It just means you're not going to go to an arbitration hearing. For Keller and Bednar, if they would decide to sign extensions, I mean, they could agree today and then say, you know what, screw it. We're going to go, you know, work on an extension long-term, and that's still possible. I don't know how good I feel about that, given where we're at, given the lack of dialogue so far. You know, maybe the TV deal for the Pirates or other concerns or needing to address other areas, I'm not sure. But, yeah, it's I don't expect it to be an issue today, I just don't know how confident I feel about it long term. But I did like hearing from Mitch, from Bednar, Reynolds, Sawinski. That first night was really interesting that they brought, you know, a half dozen guys through. And hearing them talk a lot about optimism surrounding the team and how they view themselves, like, it was just so opposite of what we've heard and lived in. I mean, you've gotten away from it a little bit with Penguins, but yeah, there's been a lot of negativity surrounding this team. And I think some of it's fair. I understand why people are upset. I'm not saying all is well, but, you know, sort of my lead in the story that I wrote is like, it hasn't seeped through on the inside, man. Like, these guys still think they can be very good. And I think to a degree they can. It's going to be interesting where the water finds its level, though.
Yeah, no, that's the same place that I go to. It's just, you know, I think the expectations are there. I don't know exactly in the clubhouse, you know, obviously they're going to say the right things. If we're going after a championship, yeah, right. Why else do you play? But like,
be interesting if they said, yeah, I'm really worried. I don't know if we're going to win more than 70 games this year.
Right. I would
try Pirates Fest.
Like, I would love to give a player truth serum and be like, you know, say it's a team that's an 100 loss team and be like, you know, what's your expectations here? We're really gunning for fourth place. Like, I would love to hear a player say that, right? But at any rate, no, like, you know, they're going to say the right things and that we're competitive and we believe in this group here. And I think to your point, the offseason isn't done, right? This isn't the finished product. There's still much to be added here, but just an interesting thought to be like, hey, this is a team that thinks highly of itself, thinks it can be better, and, you know, show us what you can do on the field. And we'll get a chance to see that in just a few weeks here at spring training.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will. All right. Well, it's a Steelers playoff weekend. Plenty of hockey and other stuff going on. So you've heard 40 minutes from us. That's plenty. Plenty more to rehash in the weeks ahead. As Andrew said, make sure to like and subscribe. You can catch all of our Post-Gazette content. Thank you, Rowdy, for squeezing us in before heading off to Penguins Canucks. Good Anytime. Luck with that.
Happy to do so. Glad we can chat a little ball again. Looking forward to doing this more regularly soon.
Yes, sir. All right. We'll talk to y'all next week.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.
All right, man.
Sweet. Good stuff.